this guy found a chariot with a little key. And at the Goti Vaishnav in the key, Nama Chariot Shlaharida Stako the key. Rem Sega has Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityan and the Shia Dreta Radhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakti Vrindiki. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Goga Pukvina Shamakanda Radha Kaligi Giri Govardhan Ki. Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki. Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki. Ganga Mayaki, Jamuna Mayaki, Bhakti Deviki, Tulasi Deviki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrindiki, Jainitai Gaur Pimalaki. All glories to some devotees. All glories to some devotees. All glories to some devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sa'arudha Nripa Sthana Unadho Stha Vibhutibhi Avamene Maha Bhagan Stabdhas Sambhavitas Svata Sa'arudha Nripasthana Unadhosta Vibhutibhi Avamene Mahabhagan Stabdha Sambhavitastava Sa'arudha Nripasthana Unadhosta Vibhutibhi Avamene Mahabhagan Stabdha Sambhavitasvata Sa. King Vena. Arudha. Ascended to. Nidipa. Sthana. The seat of the king. Unnadhaha. Very proud. Ashta. Eighth. Viputibhi. By opulences. Avamene. Began to insult. Mahabhagan. Great personalities. Stabha. Inconsiderate. Sambhavita. Considered great. Svata. By himself. When the king ascended to the throne, he became all-powerful with eight kinds of opulences. Consequently, he became too proud. By virtue of his false prestige, he considered himself to be greater than anyone. Thus he began to insult great personalities. Purport. In this verse, the word ashtavibhutihi, meaning by eight opulences, is very important. The king is supposed to possess eight kinds of opulences. By dint of mystic yoga practice, kings generally acquire these eight opulences. These kings were called Rajarshis, kings who were also great sages. By practicing mystic yoga, a Rajarshi could become smaller than the smallest, greater than the greatest, and could get whatever he desired. A Rajarshi could also create a kingdom, bring everyone under his control and rule everyone. These were some of the opulences of a king. Vena, King Vena, however, was not practiced in yoga, but he became very proud of his royal position nonetheless. Because he was not very considerate, he began to misuse his power and insult great personalities. There's also the translation for the previous two verses. The great sages then called for Queen Mother Sunita, and with her permission, they installed Vena on the throne as master of the world. All the ministers, however, disagreed with this. It was already known that Vena was very severe and cruel. Therefore, as soon as all the thieves and rogues in the state heard of his ascendance to the royal throne, they became very much afraid of him. Indeed, they hid themselves here and there as rats hide themselves from snakes. Purport. When the government is very weak, the rogues and thieves flourish. Similarly, when the government is very strong, all the thieves and rogues disappear or hide themselves. Of course, Vena was not a very good king, but he was known to be cruel and severe. Thus, the state at least became free from thieves and rogues. So the Vedic principle is, the essential point is what's of benefit, what's of welfare. And the ultimate welfare is Krishna consciousness. So that's ultimately what one is trying to establish. Then there's the practical application of one's nature. Nature doesn't change, so it's addressed. That the nature that one has should be engaged. So body, mind, and words, there's engagement. So then there is naturally then the efficiency of that engagement is an important element in considering how things work. Because the idea is you're offering the best that you have with the greatest devotion. Right? This is what we're trying to establish. So you have both, and since that means a performance of an activity, right? Because if you want to offer something to Krishna, there must be something to offer. So gaining something to offer is done through an activity. Without activity, there's nothing to offer. So, therefore, the engagement of the one's nature becomes very important. And then the quality of that engagement defines the quality of what you are offering. Right? Then there's the quality of the devotion in which that something that you gain is offered. So they go together. They're not separate. For understanding, of course, we define things in their separateness and try to get an understanding of how they function. Right? But ultimately, what's important is how they work together. Right? You have a car, it has a steering system, has an engine. Right? There's so many facilities that are there. So one, in studying a car, one will study them each separately. But the important thing is how they work together. If you only know how they work separately, you'll be a mechanic. You'll never actually be able to use the car. So one shouldn't be distracted by the intellectual application of defining the various aspects without understanding how they are used together. So here is the ultimate goal, is Krishna consciousness. Then that means everyone's going to be engaging their nature. And that means then they should both be working on the development of consciousness and the development of the application of their nature. Right? Simultaneously. To focus on only one or the other will not be complete. They both have to be there. So now, in that also, is if you actually want to get a result, then you have to take what's useful and what's not useful, leave. The idea is that if there's anything wrong, throw the whole thing out, we'll start over again, is for fools. Shastra makes that very clear. Only fools throw out everything and start over. Because you won't be able to start over, because every action is covered by fault. That's the material world. Right? And so, you'll never get anything done. Never. So, one what has to do is see what's useful, that's kept, and what's not useful, that's thrown, that is adjusted. But in both of these cases, you're trying to see that you're gaining your goal, which is Krishna consciousness, and that is shown by engaging your nature in as expert a way as possible to get the best result possible for Krishna. So in this, we see is that in discussing here, that there's many seemingly contradictory elements. Vaina is bad. Bad enough that his father leaves the kingdom. Before he left, he's considering, actually, this is good. He's good. Because having a bad son, I'll be more Krishna conscious. Right? I won't get so entangled, so distracted. If he was good, I'd think, wow, this is fabulous, and become so absorbed. Right? The great sages, they want the welfare of the people. But then they put a king like Vaina in place. They are great sages, right? That means the sages headed by Bhrigu, it says. So they're the sages of the universe. But before installing Vaina on the throne, they take permission from his mother. Right? And Vaina, he is bad. But from that, law and order has been established in the kingdom. Now how are you going to put all this together? Because if you work in your little linear, little box things, you know, this box to that box to this box, you'll never be able to figure this out. Because you're looking at what for the situation is working? What's useful? What's the position? The citizens, knowing the king is gone, have turned into animals. That human life's not meant to be animals. It's supposed to be human. So, therefore, then you have to establish law and order, right? First to get the animals to be human. So, Vena is going to establish law and order. That's obvious. Because he's bad and he doesn't want anyone worse than him. Right? So he's going to make sure no one else is bad. So it's the first step. But they don't just leave it there. We see the sages will take full responsibility. If it doesn't work out, they will correct it. Right? So many things to learn here. They take something up, even if it's not perfect. If there's something working, then it's used. But as soon as it's not useful, they're not attached to it. Oh, but we've worked so hard to get Venu in the throne, you know, maybe, you know, something. No, it's just if it's not working, it's gone. It's not mercenary. It's not inconsiderate. The consideration is the highest welfare, Krishna consciousness. But actual Krishna consciousness. So they work with that. Right? They're great sages, but there must be authority. The sages don't do anything administratively without the permission of those in the seat of administration. So here's the Brahmins. They're higher than the Kshatriyas. But still, with their permission, something is done. So they know their place, they know their position. That's the point. That was what was going wrong. No one was knowing their position. No one was following their position. And because of that, there was chaos. So efficiency means everyone is doing their duties in the best way possible. So you have to say, what's useful? So he's powerful. He's strict. That's good. But that because of his position, now he becomes proud. That's not good. That means he's not very enlightened. Krishna says that when things go nicely, one becomes proud. Right? And then from proud, that the pride then develops all illusion. Right? The mode of ignorance arises. So the problem's not the facility. As the, how you say, I don't know what you would call that, but you know, the general tendency of one to take the external physical environment as the all in all, is that we will say, okay, the person went bad, so therefore, how you say, therefore, he went bad because of his opulence. Therefore, opulence is bad. Right? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Right? No, it doesn't. Lack of Krishna consciousness, that corrupts absolutely. Yudhishthira Maharaj had more opulence than anybody can dream of. He wasn't corrupt. So, the concept doesn't work. It's bogus. The real problem is lack of God consciousness, is lack of training. So if that can't be seen, one will never be able to solve the problems of life. Never. Because without opulence, you'll get nothing done. But if you don't have character, then what will you do with your opulence? Right? To do something, you need facility. Now if by that facility you get distracted and don't do what you're supposed to do, that's the problem. It's not the wealth. It's that you lack the character to deal with it. So how to get that character? There's only one solution, Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is the lack. It's not too much wealth. It's not enough Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made that point. There's no shortage of anything in this world, only Krishna consciousness. It's God's wealth anyway. So now you're going to say, we got to get rid of God's wealth. God is the wealth. We got to get rid of him because it's a problem. We're too low class to deal with God in the form of opulence. Therefore, we have to get rid of God. Sound good? So the idea is that the Rajarshi, he could create a kingdom because he knew what ruling is. He knows what protection is. So all that facility, all that authority is for protection. It's not used for protection. If it's not used for one's own development, if it's not used for the development of others, it's misapplied. If it doesn't do that, it's misapplied. If it's doing that, what's the problem? So much wealth is there, spent on so much expansion of Krishna consciousness, taking care of the devotees. You know, that's not a problem. But if it's not used like that, then it's a distraction. So the king could do this, he could establish, because he knows what he's doing. He's educated, he's trained, he has the character. So that's why in the Vedic literature, education, the focus on educating oneself in God consciousness, that's the most important element. Right? That's what's important. Right? Other things are not important. One must understand the hierarchy. Becoming God conscious is the priority. Therefore, knowing what one's nature is to engage to become God conscious, that's the next step. Then having the facilities to engage that nature is the step after that. If one changes the order, there's a problem. One may change where one starts from, but one cannot change the priority of what one is, what is higher than another. That can't be changed. Because then it's against the nature of these things. Right? Consciousness creates the nature. Nature creates the adjustment. It means the manipulation of the environment that creates your facilities. Change the consciousness, you change the nature, you change the manipulation. So here, Vena is becoming in a position of power. He's becoming proud, the mode of ignorance is coming up. He's insulting people. Because only it means you insult because of ignorance. You don't know. You understand the position, then you don't insult. Even an enemy is not to be insulted because they have a particular power, they have a particular facility. To be able to see that is intelligent. So here the sages could see some element within Vena that's useful at the time. The kingdom's in chaos, you need to correct that. Vena can do that. Now, if he can be guided in that position, he takes up that responsibility, great. If not, they remove him. Right? Simple. Right? So the point is he was not practiced in yoga, therefore he became proud. So if you want to improve administration, you want to improve self-realization, you improve the practice of yoga. That's the point. All the other great kings are successful because of their practice in yoga. Right? No yoga, then it doesn't work out. Right? I don't mean standing in your head, you know, pretzel stuff. I mean the connection with the Lord. That's the point. Then their service as a king is yoga. The king, we see Anga, his father, had great knowledge. From that knowledge, he was able to engage himself and to be able to analyze things as they are. Therefore, he was able to leave the kingdom, detach himself, and dedicate himself to God consciousness. So he was able to understand his nature, the position, the activity, the knowledge itself, and then ultimately the purpose of self-realization. Any questions on this? Yes. Here, Mike, pass down the mic.
Hare Krishna. One verse said that the ministers did not like the idea of enthroning Vena. Right. So what's your assessment? Those ministers were Kshatriyas who agreed to follow the Brahmanas, or they were like Brahmanas but they the great sages as having higher vision? How is that interaction? How do you see that interaction?
How does that work here? Well, minister themselves, generally speaking, Brahmins are what's advised, but the main thing is you look, a minister is someone who can actually do that job perfectly. It has nothing to do with a political consideration. Like Vidura, he was the prime minister, though he was a Shudra. So the point is he actually had the nature to do it. So it doesn't matter his background. So Bhishma is a Kshatriya, but he's a minister in the court. Right? Drona and Kripa, they're ministers, they're Brahmins. So you, generally speaking, standardly speaking, the ministers will always be Brahmins, but they can be Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, whoever actually can function on that level. Right? So, but their position of working is Brahminical. Right? In other words, you have a duty, but it's a Brahminical duty. Just like, let's say, we're offering artik to the deities, it's a Brahminical duty. So it doesn't matter what the conditioned nature of the individual devotee is who's offering the artik, he must function within the realm of that Brahminical capacity. So if he can do that all the time, he could be a full-time pujari. If not, he does an artik here and there when, you know, as much as the devotional commitment allows him to function, you know, in conjunction with his engaging his nature. So here is because the authority is saying, because for the ministers, they don't make the decision. They give advice, the king makes the decision. In that way, the full responsibility lies with the king. Of course, the minister, they have the responsibility to be proper ministers. They must always work for the benefit of the king and the kingdom. Then they're considered proper. But they give advice, if the king accepts it and follows it, then if it's good, he gets the full glory, not the ministers. And if it goes wrong, he gets the blame, not the ministers. Now him, personally, his dealings with the ministers, he may give glorification or blame to the ministers. But that's between him and them, not between the citizens and the state. The state's the king. And the ministers are branches. So, if he does something right, the citizens will say, we have a good king. Of course, the king knows he's a good king because he took advice of the ministers. And so, he'll let the ministers know that. And if something went wrong, he had followed the advice, then he'll discuss that with the ministers, why they gave that advice. And either they can explain it, and he didn't understand the application or that, or they were wrong and they need to change it. And if they're consistently wrong, he'll get new ministers. So here in this case, then somehow or another, the queen was taken in that position. So it doesn't get into detail. This is probably, if you want more, look in a different Purana. They'll give different, more detail on the political environment. But as Bhagavatam, they're giving, you know, the elements of more focus on the Krishna conscious, the details, because it's understood. Once reading Bhagavatam, then all these other things are either known or not worried about. Right? So here, as they've taken that authority, the ministers didn't agree, but the ministers were not looking at, they were looking at, he's a bad ruler, so he won't be a good king, which is true. But at the same time, they weren't looking at that their kingdom has turned into a bunch of animals, which the sages were looking at. So they were looking at simply the political element, while the sages were also looking at the upliftment of the living entity. So in the bigger picture, then at the moment, it was more worthwhile putting Vena on the throne than it was to not. But they only did something which was in the capacity of them to control. Right? So they put Venu in, he gets out of hand, then they take him out, and then they replace him with a proper king. But since he's there, why go against the natural system? The king is there, his son becomes the king. So they're not like, you know, people like Robespierre, people like that, who start a revolution but don't have the power to control it. And so they end up getting their head cut off also. And then they thought, you know, Louis the, what was it, 16th was bad as a as a leader. Then they replaced, what happened is he got replaced by Napoleon, who was a dictator. Or they didn't like the Tsar, they kick him out, and then he's replaced by Stalin. So this means the people who are creating these difficulties don't have the power to do. And we see they're going through the etiquette, they're working with what's in power, and then they're making adjustments. So they're following the etiquette. So if one goes outside of that, it may seem great, the ideology is great, but the revolution will end in something worse. That's just the way the material energy works if you follow the modes. If you follow Krishna's system, then it will be uplifting. If you don't, it will be degrading. It's science. That's why they call it social science. The problem is we're studying social art. Vedic is social science. Modern is social art. Because art's just the senses and the sense object, what's happening. The science is what's the nature behind it that makes it act in that way. That's the weakness. These sages are working on social science. Therefore, we see it has a good ending. But these other persons in history, in modern history, who stage revolutions and that and try to do something and change the nature of the state, they get swallowed up by it. Right? Even Louis XIV, who created this modern concept of the state as supreme, he got swallowed up by it. But he did okay. It was one generation. He survived. But successors, they didn't. So that's the problem with the mundane. It looks great, but still it's not working. So the modern sciences, though they've been, some of them they can claim they've been functioning for 1,000 years, 1,100 years, some of them only a few hundred years. But still, because it's coming from pratyaksha, or observance only, without authority, then it will always fail. Like that. So we see here, is that's what I'm saying, there are contradictions. But you have to know what perspective to look at it so that the contradiction doesn't have a problem. Right? It's just, it's cold out. So you use warmth to adjust the situation. That's a contradiction. Right? Or it's hot out, you use cool to adjust the situation. But if you don't understand what you're dealing with, how much heat do you put? How much cold do you put? Right? So, it's hot outside, so you go into a walk-in freezer and spend the night there? No, that's too much. Right? So, you have to know how it's controlled. The heat is controlled, the cold is controlled. So, the contradiction's not the problem, because that's all you're ever dealing with. So if you say it's a contradiction, yes, but you have to know which is the primary element to look at, because it'll always be. If there's hot, there's always going to be cold. If there's day, there's always going to be night. So unless one understands both, as the Upanishad says, vidyam cha vidyam, if you don't understand knowledge and ignorance, you'll fail. So we say, this is wrong, throw it out. The cold's bad, let's get rid of all cold. No, but the point is then it's too hot, but then how are you going to solve it? Cold. But cold is bad, so you can't use it. Right? So someone who complains, it's cold and everyone gets sick, but then they should never have fans or AC. Because otherwise it's a contradiction to their ideology. So the Vedas means that they're work. You know, you're working with energy. That means contradiction. That's all. That's what it means. Feminine means contradiction. That's its nature. So if you want to deal with it, you have to know what's prominent and at the time and deal with that and balance it with the other contradictory elements. That takes work. Those sages are willing to follow it through. They didn't go, oh, we don't get involved in all this. No, they got involved for the welfare of the people. It didn't work out. They took full responsibility and fully corrected the situation. They didn't look for someone else. Right? This is an abnormal situation. The normal situation is we see with Priyavrata, just the previous story, with Dhruva Maharaj. Then in establishing Dhruva on the throne, the king was first satisfied himself as the king, as someone who practically does the work, that Dhruva Maharaj had the capacity to do the work. Then he took the advice of the ministers, because they're going to have to work with them and all that, and they also have experience. And when they were satisfied, then he saw what the people, how they responded, what they thought of Dhruva Maharaj. Did they like the idea? Then when all these three were in place, then he crowned Dhruva Maharaj. So that's the natural position. But in here, the people wouldn't be able to tell, because they've turned into animals. So it's not going to work finding out what they want. The king himself's not there to make the decision. So the sages are the ones seeing there. So they're working with it. So for the time being, they're satisfied. Now, weakness will be the ministers. But the case is the ministers looking at the overall picture or not? Right? But it's pointed out that by the ministers not being satisfied, there's going to be something there that's wrong in the way of the proper, the nature to manipulate the material energy to get a result. But they're not necessarily looking at that results for the Lord, while the sages are. So you have to balance and do the best. But the point is just because you've tried to balance and done your best, it doesn't end there and say, well, we tried our best. That's not an excuse. That is, yes, you tried your best. That was then. And therefore, you claim it's glorious because you said we tried our best. That means it's in the past. You tried your best there. What are you doing now as your best to do it? Just saying we tried our best, that's the best you can do? That's living in the past. That's ignorance. No one will be satisfied. It's self-centered. Oh, we tried our best. Why doesn't anyone understand? You know, all this kind of... Point is yes, okay, we tried our best then, and we got some result then that we were looking for. But as time goes, it changes. So now what are we going to do? Right? The cabbage is sitting in the patch, right? It's very small. What are you going to do? Let it grow, right? It's bigger. What are you going to do? We're going to pick it and cook it, right? It's gotten more big. Okay, we're going to take seed from that. Oh, it's you know, died and it's falling and rotting. Now we'll make it into compost. Every situation is dynamic. It's constantly changing. So to live in the past is ignorance. It'll never work. You have to be working in the present. The mode of goodness is the present. You learn from the past, you have plans for the future, but you function in the present. So the sages are doing that. Like that. But there must be some reason that the ministers, there was some fault there that the sages weren't so worried about it. But the sages were taking full responsibility. They didn't jump out at some point and then say, well, what to do? Is that okay? Does that get somewhere? Like that. So there's always that balance, and there's always the element of trying to see what in that particular situation is the primary consideration. What is the focus? What is the perspective? Right?
And we see that these sages, as you said, took responsibility and then removed Vena. Sometimes we see that there's a lot of hesitation or resistance sometimes to remove people from a position where it clearly is not working. Of course, I mean, I'm not asking a question that covers the unlimited possibilities.
Right.
But the tendency of just maintaining someone in a position, I don't know, because he will feel bad or...
Because he'll feel bad's not good enough. If it's a matter of there's no one to replace him, so blind uncle's better than no uncle, right? Then that's there. In other words, if the person's there, bills are being paid, you know, some little functioning, you know, is going on, the temple will exist. Then, you know, there's worthwhile until they can find someone who will be better. But just that he'll feel bad isn't good enough. It means it's still a consideration. You can't say, well, that doesn't matter and kick him out. It also has to be worked out. The point is he's doing something. He has been doing something. How did he become the temple president in the first place? Right? So, you know, who put him there? You know, did the people who are considering now, were they responsible? Or they've come along and they've just inherited something from the past? But in any case, deal with it. You have to put all these things together. So the answer is simple, but not simplistic. It may be a very sophisticated solution, but the answer is actually simple. Right? You have to see the situation, what is good, what's not good, and keep what's good and what's not replaced. So now they're good in this area, and now the next person comes in. Like I've seen, it's very common. The temple president's great devotee. Everyone loves him. Everyone's fired up, enthusiastic. They do great preaching. People are joining. It's all happening. But he's really bad with the books. He's not very good at money. Like that. And so then, you know, due to, you know, some mistakes, either he doesn't know and it slowly happens, or he makes a few bad decisions, and then the temple is, you know, in big debt. So then the authorities then decide, okay, now we need to correct this situation. But what's the correction? The correction is only the books have to be kept properly. You have to be able to raise that money and deal with it properly. But what's not necessary, but what's good is that person is very influential in the devotees. It's a very dynamic temple, and everybody's Krishna conscious. It's very expanding. So the only weakness is the accounts and the money. Right? And remember, it's a big thing, of course, money, but it's secondary to the facility, which is secondary to the engagement of the devotees, which is secondary to Krishna consciousness. Right? So it's technically on the bottom of the pile. So then they'll replace that temple president with someone else who's good at collecting money and all that. So yes, and so after, you know, 6 months, 9 months, he clears the debt. And so everybody was focused, so everything went on nicely. Now the debt's cleared. Now what he's good at is over. And now it falls into a slump. No one's inspired. Everyone doesn't have a focus because it's not just collecting money. And so therefore then the community fragments. And so this happens again and again. Rather than keep the one in, bring the other one in to solve the problem. Work out some way to do the two, but money becomes on the top. So it's a priority, but it's not a priority over Krishna consciousness. And so management is always subservient to Krishna consciousness. Management becomes supreme, there will always be problem. Always. That's why you have to know, is what are these sages doing? They're managing. So that puts them in the position of the supreme managers. But they're not the supreme administrators. Anyone who knows Vedic culture understands this. Someone who doesn't will always make this mistake. That management and administration are synonymous. They're not. Everyone manages. Administrators administrate. So, otherwise, why did they take why did they deal with the queen? Because she's representing administration. So even though they're the supreme, they're not doing something without working with the administrators, if they're in good position, they're situated properly, right? And they'll always consider the general populace if it's situated properly. So these are very subtle points that if one understands them, one has culture, and then one can do, because the manipulation of the external energy is based on the subtleties of the culture. And the culture is based on the philosophy. You don't know the philosophy, you'll never know what to do. It's that simple. So if you're not Krishna conscious, no matter who you are, you will fail. It just doesn't. This is the Krishna conscious movement. Material expertise is not enough. Because we have to remember, the expertise is Krishna himself. And if it's not used for Krishna, it won't work. You know, I've seen so many top professional people in the material world fail miserably to try to apply it in Krishna consciousness, and they go away. Or just some simple guy off the street, because of his commitment to Krishna consciousness, does amazing things that none of the professionals could ever do. Right? So, you know, simple stuff like that. Always give the example, because it's the you take the Beatles. Who works with them actually personally directly? Their manager, right? People who do recording. You know, the recording. What do you call them? Engineers. Your people who are the not the publicists. So producers. But none of them live with them. But you had a bunch of hippies off the street. There they were, living with the Beatles. And even giving them some advice, direction in their personal life. There's no professional on the planet that can do that. So material expertise isn't the ultimate. Krishna consciousness is. It's what makes things work. The world is already going on. You remove everyone, the world will still happen. The birds will still chirp, you know, the bugs will still eat the leaves, and, you know, it's still a go on. So, the important element is Krishna consciousness, because what's going on is already Krishna. All we're doing is taking part in serving what Krishna is already doing. And if we want to take control and say, I'm doing it, and make the decisions and make the standards, you'll fail. Because God's still in control. It doesn't matter who you are. So it's just a matter, do we take part in Krishna's spiritual pastimes, the Sankirtan mission, or do we take part in his material pastimes as a pious person? But unless you take part in the pastimes according to how God says, it won't work. It's God's game, it's God's rules, and it's God's ball. Right? If he doesn't like it, it's not going to happen. Does that make sense? So then one has to be able to see what's wrong, remove that part only, and keep what's good. Otherwise, it's not going to function. Because at some point you have to be practical. Then what they'll do is keep everything and not correct what's there. They're the temple president, doesn't belong there, but they won't remove him because of, you know, some sentiment. But at the same time, as they don't accomplish filling in what's missing. So, what's missing? Is there anything good about him as a president? What's short? Fill that in. Right? Bring other people in that can do that, other people that are already there. Can you educate him in doing it? Some way to make it complete. And if he gets in the way, won't allow anyone else to come up, won't allow anything, therefore, like Vena, then he's removed. And then, but if you remove them, you have to have a plan. You can't just remove something and then go, oh, now who will we have as president? No, you don't have someone. Chanakya didn't remove Nanda for 8 years until he had someone to replace him with. He was going to replace him. But he didn't at the time. He was insulted. I'm sure Chanakya could have removed him at that time. Because he removed him actually. By having him poisoned. And he did that with a maidservant. So they're always in the palace. So he could have done that, you know, within days or months after he was insulted. But he waited 8 years until Chandragupta was actually qualified. Right? Because Nanda would do something, at least there's a kingdom. And so then he removed his power base, and then he removed him, and put Chandragupta in. So one has to take the overalls. It's not enough. Oh, it's bad. Remove it. If you don't replace it, you're a nonsense. Personally, as an individual, you may be a great devotee, but getting involved in these things is not your business. Does that make sense? So that you have to know what the real problem is. The real problem is Krishna consciousness, not something else. Not the people who have too much power or money or facility or respect. These aren't the problems. The problem is Krishna consciousness. Because human life means all those elements are there. You remove it, then what's the meaning? Does that make sense? We've left a lot of things in subtle form, so, and it's, you would have to connect the dots. Is that okay? Something else. Does that mean you're okay, or you have something more? You're okay. You're okay. Okay. Got it. Good. This microphone, you can pass it over.
You mentioned that Chanaka Pandit poisoned his adversarial king and restored another person. So, Chanaka Pandit is a great sage. Everyone quotes him, Prabhupada quoted him, and so forth. So we have a question, you know, when someone is misbehaving in our society, to what extent do we go, you know, to remove that person from a position? Sometimes it's happened that force has been used. I'm not sure about murder, but sometimes force has been used to just whisk people away from different environments and so forth, or put them out, you know, in different ways. Sometimes Krishna, we think that he's taken certain people out, you know, in certain circumstances. So when is a devotee qualified to make a decision in that regard?
Means qualification for decision is Krishna consciousness, basically, that you're committed to it, you're doing your best at it, then with what you have, you try to make the decision. But Prabhupada recommended when you're removing someone from a position, you should take advice from your, you know, your peers, right? Or if you have people that are senior to you, then from them. But if, you know, so if you're in the higher rungs, then with others who are your peers. If you're in the middle, then like a temple president has an officer in the temple, then he might discuss with his GBC or with other temple presidents what they would consider, because there's something he might have missed. The point is we're dealing with the situation, we're focusing on it, so we may see it from a particular perspective, which is not necessarily wrong, but may not be complete. That's why we take advice. Because others aren't necessarily connected to it, but have knowledge of that field, so they can give a different perspective. But you put it all together, and then like that. So that's what Prabhupada says. The temple president can be removed by a group of GBC deciding he's unqualified. But my point, what we're making is, don't remove him until you figured out who to put in the place. Right? Especially if it's his... What is going on isn't directly affecting the devotees. Maybe as some personal problems, but it's not directly affecting. So therefore, find someone to replace, then do. If it's what he's doing is really going to cause a lot of problems, then it may need to be dealt with more quickly. Like you see, Vena, they just removed him immediately. But they had a plan. Right? So they had to move very quickly instead of moving, you know, in a more politically compliant environment, one may move very fast. So But know that the if one considers that one is doing this, one also is responsible for it. If it's your plan, you're responsible. So if things go wrong, you have to correct them, you know, or take the blame. And if things go right, great, but you have to follow through. The main point we see in the Vedas is taking responsibility and following through.
One other question. We see in Libya today, there's a civil war going on. It's supported by the European and American nations, and yet they don't even know who is actually the opposition to the established government. So this is going on back and forth, and the established government has troops and an army and basically popular support. So when these kind of things happen, I'm bringing this up as asking you for a commentary on the current status of the world as opposed to, you know, an ideal state, something like that. Why is this, I have ideas about why it's going on. They like to shoot off all these missiles and spend a lot of money, but basically what would we do in a situation like that where there's an internal conflict? Is it important to come in from the outside and make a change?
No, because outside, see, as we were discussing, any problem that's there is a lack of Krishna consciousness. So there's nothing from outside that will add anything. Right? Only a devotee can understand Krishna. So a professional, they only know how to manipulate energy, but that's based on their karma. But when you're dealing with Krishna's movement, karma's not a question there. You know, that's not the position. Because otherwise, if it is, the guy was pumping gas, right? He becomes a devotee. He moves up. He becomes a big, big person in the movement and all this. And then he somehow or another decides to leave. He's in his mind thinking, I'll go out with as much power and sophistication as I had. No, you come back after, you know, some days, he's pumping gas again. Right? So that's the point, there's no benefit in that. If devotees can look at things and see what's useful, but how will they know what's useful? Because it's not working. It's not working for the karmis. Right? You know, I mean, you gave this thing. Afghanistan worked very nice for the, you know, American morale and for the administration, but Iraq didn't. You understand? So it's a matter of hit and miss. But the Vedas tell what's going on here. What's the real point? It means, why would you want the person removed? What's the problem? Right? What's the real problem? Is he managing the country badly? You know, all these different things. Are his people protected or not? So you have to see what's the problem. Others are considering, because he's always supported terrorist activities, that will be the weakness. Right? So that's the point that has to be corrected, but not at the expense of the stability of the state that is going to, otherwise, if you have a country that is stable, but they don't like the leader, and you remove the leader and don't replace, and then the state becomes unstable, they're going to not like you. And then instead of having one person who doesn't like you, you have a whole country full. So that's because they're not following the Shastra. Shastra tells what's the overall view that has to be understood. It's not enough that, oh, we have so much problem with this particular aspect in our society, and so we have to do something immediately and just stop the problem. No, you have to solve the problem. All they're doing is stopping symptoms. Right? But that's allopath medicine. You know, you have a pimple. So you put some medicine, you get rid of the pimple, you think you're fine. No, your blood's still impure. Your liver's still not working properly. Your digestion's still bad. So it's going to continue on. And then you keep putting it on the skin. Instead of the poison coming out there, it'll go to your joints, or it'll go to your eye, or it'll go to your, you know, something else. So you never solve the problem. The problem is the digestion's not working because the liver's weak. So therefore, make the liver strong, digestion works, there is no impurities, so you get no pimples. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that they're dealing on a temporary basis, so they're getting a temporary result. And in Krishna consciousness, not so important. In an emergency, maybe, but as it is, you have to take full responsibility. And so generally that's not what's happening. People do something and then when it goes wrong, then they got some, find some excuse for it. Someone else's fault, or what could you do? We tried. Something had to be done. Somebody had to stand up and say something. Yeah, and then you started something that you can't deal with. It was bigger than you. So, you know, don't do that. You know, don't pick up something you can't pick up because you have issues and then you can't do something with it and then everybody else has to come along and help. So then it's all about you. You have authority issues. You can't handle authority. You worked, overturned the authority. But now that no one has a respect for any authority, and so you can't just say, well, we had to do something. No, you didn't. You didn't have to do anything. It wasn't your position. You didn't have the ability. You didn't have the power. You should not have done it. Like that. If it really needed, then you talk. And if it's not, but it's not getting anywhere, we talk, so let it take its time. Because there's also good. Okay, so we'll end here. If there's any further questions, we'll continue after a few minutes. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda Ki, Jainatai Gaura Premananda.